First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a little bit loud there. I apologize, but good evening and welcome to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I am your host, Dale the Truth. And as always, if you want to call in tonight, the number is as usual, 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. 683-1326. If you're already on the line and you want to jump in, when you hear something of interest, just press the 1 key and we'll be notified that you want to be on the air. And we will start out with this week in history. And there's not a lot to go on there, but we'll do that right after we do the thought of the day. And the thought of the day, I thought this quote was great. This is a quote from Reginald McKenna when he was chairman of the Midland Bank addressing stockholders. And I won't tell you when this was dated. Just listen to this quote for a minute. "I'm afraid the ordinary citizen will not like to be told, that the banks can and do create money, and they who control the credit of the nation direct the policy of governments and hold in the hollow of their hand the destiny of the people." Now, again, that's Reginald McKenna, chairman of the Midland Bank, addressing stockholders this week in 1924. Yes, that was a quote from 90 years ago. You think maybe he was trying to warn us about what the bankers were really about? Well, fast forward now, so about 18 years ago, the only other thing that we really see on the Freedom Calendar tonight, here at the freedomcalendar.com that we have up on the wall, the only big issue, and I want to spend some time on it, today is Tuesday, July the 15th, and this happened 18 years ago this week. Shortly after the sun had set this week in 1996 on July the 17th, the sky was still light and we had a Boeing 747 jetliner called TWA Flight 800 that was taking off from JFK Airport and was on its way to Paris, France. 230 people on board. But unfortunately, 11 minutes into the flight, the 747 went missing, and it was discovered that it was flying at an altitude of 13,700 feet above sea level. Now, normally higher at 11 minutes, Flight 800 had delayed climbing to make room for another jetliner that was descending into Rhode Island. So here it came back on the radar. And the plane was over the Atlantic Ocean south of Long Island, New York. And just as Flight 800 was receiving clearance to initiate that climb to cruise altitude, the plane exploded without any warning. Thousands of pounds of kerosene dumped from the center and wing tanks vaporized and ignited, creating a fireball that was seen all along the coastline of Long Island. And under the orange glow of this fireball, sections of the 747 tumbled into the Atlantic Ocean. So completely had the plane broken up that weather radar confused the expanding bubble of debris for a cloud. Again, this was this week in 1996. It was about this time of evening. It was 7:45 in the evening. And this Boeing 747, TWA Flight 800, had crashed into the ocean shortly after takeoff from Kennedy Airport. Now, the initial reports were that witnesses saw the explosion and then they saw debris descending to the ocean. But there were no reports of the flight crew reporting any problems to air traffic control. This was a plane manufactured in 1971, and it had accumulated about 93,000 flight hours. On board were 212 passengers and 18 crew members. There were no survivors when this airplane was destroyed. And almost at once, you had the first hints where eyewitnesses were being interviewed on radio and TV that night in 1996 this week. And they reported that something strange had preceded the explosion of the 747. Witnesses, many on the ground, reported seeing a bright object streaking towards the 747. And the object in question turned mid-air as it closed on the jumbo jet. Now, witnesses reported horizontal travel as well as vertical. And the broad geographical range covered by the eyewitnesses eliminates any kind of foreground or background confusion. And to be seen as being near the 747 from so many different directions, the bright object had to definitely be in the immediate vicinity of the 747. Now, other pilots in the air said they saw a bright light near the jumbo jet before it exploded. And in the days following the disaster, many industry executives privately concluded that TW-800 had been shot down. And we looked over at whatreallyhappened.com, and there were eyewitness statements, there were police report scans, and they're all talking about this bright object on the radar that shot down Flight 800. Now, it's important to remember that normal operation air traffic control radar does not detect aircraft, but aircraft transponders. The transponder is like the radio in the aircraft that listens for a radio beam, a radar beam, if you will. And when it detects the beam, it immediately sends out the coded signal. And the air traffic control radar will then use this data to display airport information to the traffic controller. So the big question was the bright object that took down Flight 800 and missile. Because the descriptions given by the eyewitnesses and by pilots in the area are consistent with a missile. No alternate explanation for this bright object has ever been forthcoming over 18 years. And ABC World News that week, this would have been on a Sunday, ABC World News, so this was roughly 6 days after the explosion, had a eyewitness, Lou Deseron, who said, "We appeared to see a flare going straight up. As a matter of fact, we thought it was from a boat. It was a bright reddish-orange color. And then once it went to flames, we knew it wasn't a flare." And the Washington Times, a week later, reported several witnesses saw the bright object streaking toward the jumbo jet seconds before it blew up. And ABC News said that they had had over 100 eyewitnesses to us. And then here came the New York Post story about 2 months later where the FBI had interviewed 154 quote-unquote credible witnesses, including scientists, army personnel, and business executives, who described seeing a missile headed through the sky right before the explosion. And always, as always, they want to hide this stuff. They don't want you to think that somebody blew up a Boeing 747, Flight 800, TWA. And the Navy claimed that they could not locate the black boxes, even though numerous private boat owners reported hearing the locator pings on their sonar and fish finders. So when the black boxes finally appeared, it was reported that they had been found directly under the Navy's deep salvage vessel. And despite early denials, the Navy finally admitted that there had been 3 submarines present in the area on the night of the crash. So what really happened? Didn't take long for the cover-up to begin, did it, folks? Everybody from these eyewitnesses we just talked about, the newspapers, the journalists, the engineers, the scientists, all knew that there was a missile. But here comes the Internet intelligence operatives, the COINTELOP, if you will. They were flooding the Internet, and the Internet was fairly young in 1996. Not many of us had really gotten to take advantage of Al Gore's invention. I remember doing a lot with it in school at the University of Louisville a couple years before that, but most people were not using it yet. There really was no World Wide Web yet. Here were these intelligence operatives flooding the Internet, claiming that 800 had been the victim of a terrorist shootdown using a Stinger manned portable missile. Now, this is a historical irony because it was the sudden activity by intelligence operatives, many of the same people known for their work in the Vince Foster cover-up. If you all remember Vince Foster, one of Hillary Clinton's alleged lovers who allegedly killed himself with the wrong hand. Well, these same intelligence operatives were known for that cover-up, and here they come again. And we were supposed to believe that TW-800 was all of a sudden just another tragic crash. An example from 18 years ago this week, folks, where they'll tell you what they want you to know, and they don't want you to know what they don't tell you. It's really that straightforward. So that went a little bit deeper than I normally would go, but that was this week in history, 1996. Now, moving forward, I thought what was a very, very interesting headline that Drudge put up just recently was the headline that Pat Buchanan posted in his latest article. And his latest article was America No Longer One Nation or One People. And so Drudge screamed from the headlines that Buchanan warns America could break up. We've said for a long time that America should have the right to break up if they want. They should not be locked into these United States if they want to secede. We've talked about nullification and secession more than anybody else. Some reason the liberals and the neocons don't want you talking about secession, and we know why. They don't want people to get any ideas. I actually went out last week, I guess it's maybe been almost 2 weeks now, and saw the movie that Dinesh D'Souza put out called America, and it was okay, but he was really, really down on the South, and he was really, really into his hero worship of Abraham Lincoln, about how, oh, Abraham Lincoln kept the Union together, blah, blah, blah. Like that was some high and mighty honorable thing to keep the Union together when they did not want to be together. It's not admirable when you force people to be part of an organization or a group that they don't want to belong to. Now, we talked last week a little bit about the North American Union, how more people are talking about the North American Union again. And we know that our good friend Ken Mulman did a show a couple nights ago, and he did hit on the immigration issue. And I probably disagree with Mr. Mulman a little bit on the immigration issue. I'm pretty liberty-oriented, and I really don't talk about immigration a lot because I'm not one of these people who says that we need to put up this huge fence and it's going to protect us. Maybe I'll get back into a minute how the fence, ironically, that was supposed to be put up was also part of the phony Real ID Act. But I agree with Ken that a fence that's big enough to keep people out is also big enough to keep people in. So I'm not big on fences. But when you have these border raids by scores and scores of thousands of illegal immigrant juveniles and kids and delinquents and babies and toddlers or whatever else you want to call them, that's not the way that you immigrate to this country. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. And the headline to which Drudge alluded from Pat Buchanan's article talks about how back during George W. Bush, he liked to brag about how Mexico was our friend and our neighbor, and it's so important for us to tear down the barriers and walls that separate Mexico from the United States. And Bush was basically successful. During his tenure, millions of Americans, Central Americans, that is, come up to Mexico, and then millions of Mexicans and Central Americans coming up into the United States. If you remember back in 2007, now 7 years ago, you had John McCain, George W., Hillary, Ted Kennedy, Barack Obama, they all wanted this amnesty for 12 million people who had entered the United States illegally. And the nation said no. And Congress, thankfully, sustained the nation. Now, you have this massive media coverage, and yeah, I understand they make everything a crisis. Everything they say is a crisis. It's not always a crisis. But basically, this is the decisive issue for this year's elections and elections from 2 years from now. We'll see how the different politicians spin it and how their little action committees spin it to make them look better. We know that no real issues are going to be discussed in the local race between Addison Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr., known as Mitch to his buddies, and his opponent, the Democrat hack that I call Allison Blunderland Slimes, We know there are not going to be really issues that they're going to discuss. Hell, they won't even debate each other. But across the country, it's going to be a big, big deal in 2014 and 2016. And the Chamber of Commerce is not on our side, folks. I'm sorry. I know I have a fine line between people who may be a little bit more populist on my side, if you want to call it sides, and people who maybe don't like anything to get in the way of commerce. But commerce and fascism are two different things. And the Chamber of Commerce loves to get amnesty for its members who've been exploiting the cheap labor. So a lot of people want to know, and Pat Buchanan asked in his article this week, will America remain one nation, or are we on the road to balkanization and a breakup into ethnic enclaves? Now, Ronald Reagan did say a nation that cannot control its borders isn't really a nation anymore. And then Federalist number two, John Jay, wrote, quote, Providence has been pleased to give us one connected country to one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs. And I know Ken talked about this the other night, using, for example, Northern Kentucky's German heritage. And I'm of Irish and Scottish heritage, and we pretty much have a lot of the same things going on there. It's very much the same part of Europe, same part of history. Everybody came over here legally. However screwed up and however just diluted and horribly misconstrued is the immigration system, they all came over through that system. And now the ones coming over do not speak the language. And they do not respect the borders. And they do not share the culture. As Buchanan says in his article, we were not a nation of immigrants in 1789. The immigrants came later, from 1845 to 1849, when the Irish were fleeing the potato famine. And from 1890 to 1920, the Germans. And then the Italians and the Poles and the Jews and the Eastern Europeans. And then something happened 90 years ago. We talked about that year, 1924. Well, that year that we mentioned at the top of the show is also important because immigration was suspended in 1924. For 40 years, from 25 to 65, the children and grandchildren, as Buchanan writes in his article, of those immigrants were assimilated, Americanized in strong public schools. They were taught our language, literature and history, and celebrate our holidays and heroes. And we endured together through the Depression and World War II and the Cold War. And he said, by 1960, we had truly become one nation and one people. He said, America was not perfect. No country is, but no country ever rivaled what America had become. She was proud, united, free, the first nation on earth. Now remember, Attorney General, as we call him, yes, I said Attorney General, Eric Holder, said this week that America is a, quote, fundamentally better place than we were 50 years ago. And I totally disagree. I guess if you want to look at equality of rights, that might be have been realized, but miraculous cures in medicine may have kept us alive if we maybe didn't survive the same maladies half a century ago, but we're no longer that, quote, band of brethren. We are no longer one unique people from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, or even anything close to the same religion. Now people are from every continent and country. Nearly half of Americans trace their ancestry to Asia, Africa, and Latin America, not Europe. I'm just telling you the way it is, folks. I'm not telling you this is good or bad. I'm just giving you the facts, just giving you the truth. That's what we do here on this show. So we are now a multiracial, multilingual, multicultural society in a world where countless other countries have already broken up over race, religion, and culture. Remember, Columbus is reviled. No one even talks about Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. They're not to be talked about. Instead, we hear about Cesar Chavez and Che Guevara. All we hear about is all the politicians are at each other's throats. which we know it's not true because that false left-right paradigm that they want to push on you covers up the fact that the politicians love each other behind the scenes. They're embracing each other, laughing at your expense. So you got a society that's disintegrating. Over 40% of the births in this country are illegitimate. That number is 52% in the Hispanic community, 73% in the Black community. So if a country is a land of defined and defended borders within which reside the people of a common ancestry, history, language, faith, culture, or tradition, how are we one nation and one people today? The neocons love to tell you that we're a new kind of a nation, and we're an ideological nation erected upon the Constitution and Bill of Rights. But no, democracy and diversity, I'm sorry, are not mentioned in the Constitution. As for what our founding fathers meant and what the founding documents meant, even the Supreme Court, the Black Moomoos, does not agree with us. More and more, 21st century America seems to meet rather well Metternich's depiction of Italy, a geographic expression. So think of that for a minute. Are we a country with language, borders, and culture, or are we just a geographic expression? We'll go into a few more issues after the break. You are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Again, to call in, 858-683-1326. And we'll be back.
Thank you.
first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference and take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for hanging with us here. And you thought we were done with immigration and the border invasion, but wait, there's more. Yes, this is a interesting story from WorldNet Daily. It appears that your good friends at the United Nations now want to intervene in the U.S. border crisis, just as it couldn't get any worse, right? Representatives of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, or UNHRC, is intensely discussing in meetings the possibility of extending UN protection to the thousands of Central Americans who are illegally crossing the U.S. border by defining them as refugees, quote-unquote, who are seeking asylum from political and domestic violence in their home nations, WorldNet Daily has determined. I just got to stop right there. If their countries are so bad, and I don't deny it, I don't deny they're coming from bad countries, but their countries are so bad that they're having the run from them and literally run with minor children across the border thousands of miles, why aren't they going and doing something about those countries? Remember, they love to invade other countries. The United Nations loves to play empire maker. They love to pull the strings on the marionettes and set up different things in other countries and take down rulers and put in new rulers. So the problem is the country from which they're coming, or a multitude of countries from which they're coming. Why don't they do something about those countries? I'm curious about that. But anyway, back to the WND story. Officials privy to the United Nations discussions have explained that it's a tricky situation because the Central American immigrants, are not part of any group that the UN has designated as victims of political or religious persecution. So there you go. We get the answer to my question as we're sight reading this right now. But a UNHCR official confirmed Monday at a 10-nation meeting in Nicaragua of ministers of the interior from the U.S., Mexico, and various Central American countries was held Thursday and Friday. Anybody seeing, you know, how this is a little suspicious, how it's a little fishy? The UN had this meeting of 10 nations worth of interior ministers from the Central American countries that these people are running from. Why is it that they want to designate them as refugees and they have a board, they have this board, this commission that includes people from those countries? It doesn't all add up to me, folks. So the ministers, according to preliminary reports, conclude that the Central American illegal aliens are, quote, refugees, unquote, that deserve international protection under the auspices of the UN as they seek asylum in the U.S. And the minister cited the United Nations 30-year-old declaration on the rights of refugees. And attending the meeting were representatives from the UNHRC, as well as representatives of SICA, the El Salvador-headquartered non-government organization, known as the Central American Intelligence System. The group was endorsed by the UN General Assembly in 1993 to create regional bodies authorized to interact within the United Nations. It's a huge mess, folks. So Well, yesterday, the UNHRC in Colombia said that they would issue a press release this afternoon after receiving comments from SICA and the host country. So all the way back in 1991, SICA was created by Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama, with Belize becoming a member in 2013. And SICA also includes Mexico, Chile, Brazil, Argentina, Peru, Ecuador, Uruguay, and Colombia as regional observers. It stinks to high hell, folks. Look it up. This is Mexico, Guatemala, the rest of Central America, maybe even some South America, fast-track delivering illegals to the United States. Remember, Guatemala's first lady said they are reunited with family members in the United States. Why is it that if we resettle black and brown people in a white neighborhood, it's called diversity? But if we want to return black or brown people to their own home, it's a human rights abuse. Well, I'll be very interested to see what our good friend Paul from Stop Visible Taxes has to say. Paul, how are you?
Hi, Dale. The truth. What's shaking on this Tuesday night, man?
Well, we were just talking about this border invasion and how the United Nations is going to come and fix all of our problems for us, Paul.
Well, I heard another individual on a different radio network earlier this week suggest that this has been part of a grand plan for quite some time, that that what you're talking about is probably just the latest installment of a grand plan hatched by God only knows who for God only knows what reason. Now, and it goes way back. I mean, it goes back to at least George Bush, George Bush the first, okay? I'm not sure if Ronald Reagan was included in that, but it definitely goes back to both the Bushes, certainly Clinton, and certainly this abomination that we have in there right now. So, Dale, I have to wonder, if it is part of a grand plan, I'm not sure that simply balkanizing the United States is the end game, because that's in progress as we speak.
No,
what's
the
your best
game,
guess
I mean,
as
the balkanization? The balkanization, Paul, I'll just say this really quick. The balkanization, I don't think, is their end game. I think their end game is getting the United Nations and other globalists here involved. They want a police presence in the United States. The U.S. is too powerful to them. So they can break down the United States and take away some of this world power that they have. That's what the globalists really want to do. I think this is the perfect crisis to get it done, that the sheeple will welcome the UN with open arms.
Well, doesn't this tie in with your longstanding premise that all of this is part of the effort to establishing one world government?
Yeah. No, you're definitely right, it is. We need to send the UN packing if they want to really put their nose in this situation. But again, Paul, I don't know if you heard what I was saying right before I brought you on the air. How is it that the United Nations has officials, dignitaries from all these wonderful countries that are so wonderful in Central America, they were so wonderful, why would everybody be fleeing them? Why is it that we hear the United Nations getting involved in wars all over the world, and we're involved in droning people and bombing innocent standards? You know, we're bombing aspirin factories and small children and churches around the world, but all of a sudden they don't want to do anything to these countries that these kids are running from. And we're to believe that they're walking 1,200 miles across Mexico and Central America to get here?
Yeah, that's what they want us to believe. So,
that they've been walking 1,200 miles from these horrible, horrible countries, but yet the dignitaries and the powers that be and the VIPs from their countries are meeting and trying to figure out how to help them get here. It just seems very fishy to me, Paul.
Well, it is fishy, Dale. And remember, it's being done with the complete complicity of the current people that are running this country. Complete complicity. So,
well, like I said, Ken was talking about this Sunday night. I don't know if you got to hear Ken's show Sunday night. And I know Ken does take a little bit more libertarian. Did you hear it?
No, I did not.
Okay. And he was talking about how basically, I don't want to say, you know, paraphrase him and quote him exactly, but he was basically saying that these people were just doing what immigrants have always done in history, trying to come to a better place. And I just have a problem with that because, and you know, he's more than welcome to correct me if I'm getting his statement wrong on that, but there's a difference between running across borders when those borders are supposed to mean something. I realize if you go back to the Wild West, if you want to go way back to the Middle Ages, borders weren't that big of a deal and everybody was nomadic, but that's not the way it's been for the last 100 years to give a round number there. And why does the United Nations want to come bring their troops to our borders? If these quote-unquote refugees are coming through Mexico from South America, shouldn't the UN need to figure out why Mexico is not letting them land on Mexican soil and stay there instead of coming
well,
to us? Why don't they go to Mexico to live?
Well, the flaw in your whole premise, Dale, is that you're assuming that is, in fact, that is what they want to happen. And of course, we know that isn't what they want to happen.
Right.
That everything that they're doing is simply,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's window dressing. All of this is for public consumption, just to mask what it is that they're really up to.
Yeah.
And they're really
yeah,
up
they're
to,
coming through Mexico on this 1,200-mile supposedly foot track. Why don't they stop in Mexico? Wouldn't they get tired? And shouldn't they just say, hey, let's stay in Mexico? Why come and just obliterate our borders? And like I said, I've hesitated talking about immigration because I try to be pretty libertarian. And I don't want a big wall around the country like people say build a wall. And I don't think it's feasible that we're going to all of a sudden load them up in planes and trains and ships and send them back where they came from because that genie's out of the bottle. So what are they going to do to do anything constitutional about it, Paul?
Constitutional and this bunch?
When you say this bunch, Paul, define this bunch. I mean, this bunch, is that just the Democrats or is that both sides of the Uniparty?
Well, the people with the money, you keep referring to the banksters. I think you're in the bullseye with that assessment. The banksters really don't care about politics. All they care about is controlling the playing field. That's all they care about. And if they control the playing field, then they achieve whatever goals that they happen to have. The political party, it is for the rest of us to be concerned about. So,
well, I knew this was going to happen for a long time, Paul, because we saw the magazines and publications and periodicals where they advertised for contract work. They were already advertising how many people could they get to take care of child care and transportation. So they knew this was coming. They've been playing this for several months, and I think that the biggest part of the evil plot and the research I've been doing, and maybe a lot of people don't know about, is what about the fact that for the last 3 to 4 years, I don't know if you ever read about this, Paul, but I did some research on it. What about the fact that Obama was bankrolling these churches to the tune of $15.6 million in grants for, quote, unaccompanied alien children project? Have you ever heard about that?
No, but it does fit in with everything else that this group's doing.
$15.549 million is what I was reading over here. I got this information over on patdollar.com talking about the evil plot exposed and talking about they had these unaccompanied alien children projects with federal grant money from HHS with a program description of, quote, refugee and entry assistance, where the entire time Obama's been in office, the Catholic Charities Diocese of Galveston, Texas, was receiving up to $15.5 million for unaccompanied alien children project. That tells me that they've had this in the works for the entire administration.
Yeah, it does. And I'll tell you something else, too. You mentioned the Catholic Church and all the other agencies that have gotten out there and have been the defenders of these people crossing the borders illegally. I heard another individual suggest that anytime a charitable organization is actually caught violating the law, which is what they're actually doing,
yeah,
they ought to have all of their tax benefits, they just stripped from them right away. And I wish we could get to that stage, all right, where we start enforcing our laws on those organizations that are violating those laws. But it's kind of hard to do when you have a Justice Department headed up by a guy who's as crooked as a snake, being supervised by a guy who has been found 12 times by the U.S. Supreme Court to have acted unconstitutionally. 12 times, and they've done it unanimously.
Well,
why is this guy still
like
in the president?
Attorney, yeah, we see why people like the Attorney General Eric Holder thinks about us, that we're just a bunch of racists. But sticking to the point of this money that's coming into these organizations, last year alone, the Catholic Charities Diocese of Fort Worth, Texas, received $350,000 from the Department of Homeland Security for, quote, citizenship, encouragement, and education training, with a program description of Citizenship Immigration Services. And
well,
from December 2012 until now, Baptist Child and Family Services received $62 million in less than 2 years. Baptist Child and Family Services received $62 million in federal grants for the Unaccompanied Alien Children Program. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, going back to one of our organization's mission, which is Stop Invisible Taxes, we've got to find a way for John and Jane Q. Public, the typical hardworking American citizen, to quit feeding money to the beast, okay? We've got to find a way to quit feeding the beast the money to go and do all of this stuff. Now, there's a number of different ways to do that, all right? One of them is to position oneself so that you can absolutely minimize the amount of taxes that you're forced to pay, and you have to structure your affairs that way. And then there's a series of people out there that are tax protesters,
yep,
that just refuse to pay, just flat refuse to pay. Fascinatingly, a large number of these tax protesters, while they are getting hassled, they're not necessarily going to jail, which I find fascinating, but they are getting hassled. They are getting hassled big time, but they're not going to jail. So I have to wonder if not paying taxes, which, by the way, everyone in the United States, they pay taxes. They pay federal taxes. They pay state taxes. I don't care where you go. When you buy gasoline, you're paying federal and state taxes, and in some cases, local taxes. So everyone technically is a taxpayer. Everyone's a taxpayer, but what the government wants to do is try to extract even more through this silly-ass thing, this economy-busting, this innovation-busting thing called income tax, and everybody gets all excited about saying, well, you're not paying your fair share. Bullshit. Paying their fair share every day when they buy stuff. There's all kinds of taxes they're paying. So, nonetheless, quit feeding the beast, and the beast will have to go on a diet, and the beast won't like it, but it will have less.
A lot of people will say that the United Nations, at least that formidable version of the beast, they'll say it has no teeth, but to me, it'd be the perfect opportunity. We know that the current powers that be aren't going to do this. Hell, we would probably have to go back to Reagan to find anybody who would do this, but stand up to the United Nations. It would be the perfect opportunity to stand up to the United Nations, get back to that old slogan about get the U.S. out of the U.N. and the U.N. out of the U.S., because why do we let them sit there in New York City and we foot the bill? Why shouldn't they have to move out to one of those islands out in the Atlantic where they can live it up on someone else's money? We should get them out of here, and we're the major money source for them, and they hate us. And I don't usually get into this neocon stuff about, they hate us, that's why they're after us. But the United Nations, we know, does hate us. And they're getting to sit there free and even getting a check written to them for their rent in New York City. So, again, I think these children are coming here because of the announced and unannounced policies of the current powers that be. And I don't think it has to do anything at all with refugees. It's something, like I said, that we can see from what they ordered. We go back and see the evil plot, as I call it, because we saw that they were already ordering contractors to try to help out this stuff going down. And if Mexico and Guatemala are going to send people over here and however many other countries, there's a problem, and we don't even get into the part about all the diseases and viruses that are coming with them. So the flooding is a planned operation, in my opinion, within the administration's involvement.
No, I agree with you. It is definitely planned, and it's meant to destabilize our way of life. And you used the term a couple of times tonight. The fact you're describing it as evil, Dale. I think you're dead on. I think you're right on with that description. It is evil. This is evil manifested. This is evil. I agree.
I mean, why is it? Again, you either have borders or you don't, and that's an argument for another show. If people want to talk about how there's too much border patrol, that's a whole different 180-degree argument. But why is it that the border patrol agents have been pulled off the border and they're now 50 miles inland where they're babysitting and processing the illegals? I mean, they're harassing and assaulting and violating American rights 50 miles inland from the border. And we hear about cartels and the radicals, the terrorists as we hear about. It used to be that they hated terrorists. We know the same people are running the bills here. We know the banksters are the same, but they know the Americans have short memories. We used to be told to hate these terrorists, and we can't let them come to our country. Remember, Paul, the reason we had to go fight them in these other countries is because we don't want them coming here. But now we've opened up the borders for them to come here. I don't know what else to say about that. Paul might have gotten taken down by the black helicopters there, folks. They don't like some of the stuff we're talking about. But again, it's easy to pick on Obama. It's not just Obama. It goes back to George Herbert Walker, New World Order Bush. It goes back to Bill Clinton, who loved these guys. It goes back to George W. Bush. But they see the writing on the wall that Americans would revolt against them if they called in the United Nations, or would they? We don't need the powder blue helmets of the United Nations with borders. This is the problem. These people have been given instruction sheets on what to say in order to be able to stay in the country. And the United Nations are going to pay for these people to live off of us? I don't think it's going to work like that. It's happening all over the world, folks. Europe is also being overrun with refugees. The West is under attack from all over the world. And they want us all to be third world together. So bring in the useless United Nations so we can have it more screwed up than it was before. You see, they don't have to bribe the United Nations. They all work together. It goes right along with Agenda 21. It goes right along with the North American Union. It goes right along with merging all these countries. They want to put them all together just like the stinking European Union. Anybody remember the Amero? Anybody remember the Euro and how we were going to have our own version of the Amero? This isn't new stuff, folks. This isn't new stuff at all, but we're so worried about what's going on in the Middle East. We're so worried that whatever it is, 2 or 3 Israelis have been killed now for every 200 or 300 Palestinians. And I don't even get involved there. I say stop sending our money unsolicited, forced. Stop sending our money to those other countries. They want to shift the blame. They want to shift the game. They want to play the shell game on you. They don't want you seeing what's really going on. If we would do things like legalize hemp and marijuana, then that would hit the drug cartels. That would hit the drug cartels and what they're doing. If we would stop blaming gun stores and gun owners and let them have more gun rights, and that would also stop a lot of the gunfire by illegals and by people who do not acquire their guns legally. But the problem is they don't like Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson said, if a law is unjust, a man is not only right to disobey it, he is obligated to do so. Now, people out there think that the immigration laws are the ones to disobey, then knock yourself out. But like I said, why are so many people from our culture coming over here and doing it by the book? Aren't you tired of the establishment telling you this is the way it's got to be and you better bow down and do what they tell you? And if you're in one of these political parties, oh boy, you better be all about unity. And unity means being told and doing exactly what the political parties tell you to do. Oh, you can do that if you'd like, and I've tried to fight against that. Like I said, the aforementioned U.S. Senate race here in Kentucky between Allison Wonderland Slimes and the Turtle Man, Addison Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr. There's nothing going on there, folks. We hear about all the money being raised on both sides, but there's absolutely no substance at all. Absolutely no substance. If you want to pick one of these two, shit sandwich number one or shit sandwich number two, you need to wake up from the false left-right paradigm, folks. You need to get over that wet dream of the false left-right paradigm. Neither of these candidates have a right to your vote. If enough people wake up, several others who have declared for the race for U.S. Senate, and there are several, you just don't hear about them, one of them could be elected U.S. Senator. But if those people out there don't want to listen to me, then they need to go read what George Washington said about political parties. They need to go read the truth about what Washington said, because they're going to keep picking their sandwich, and they're going to have to enjoy eating the shit. That's basically what it's going to come down to. The smart choice is to stand up to the establishment, folks. If you had stood up years and years ago, we wouldn't be having this discussion now. If you listen to these guys who are telling you the truth instead of the lying politicians, because if they were lying to you, they'd already be elected. Look behind the news, folks. Listen to the shows here on this airwave here 5 days a week. Here on the My View Matters Radio Network, Sunday through Thursday night, get the news that you're not getting anywhere else. Stand up to the New World Order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.